And the voting continues here in California till 8 p.m. tonight. And then a lot of counting going on. 80% of us cast our ballots via mail. And there will be a lot of effort by the Sonoma County Registrar of Voters to get that information to us as soon as possible. Matthew Makowiak is here. He is a political consultant and also president of the Potomac Strategy Group. Matthew, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
It's a busy day. It's a fun day if you love politics. Super Tuesday. And I wanted to talk, we know what's happening here in California. Wanted to talk about things on a statewide level, all of the Super Tuesday states. Do you expect any surprises today?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple potential surprises. I think if you look at the way the day will likely unfold, of course, it's going to be late into the night before we have results. In fact, in California, it might be, you know, days or weeks.
We hope not, but yeah.
Hope not. But if you look around at the states that are on the calendar for today, Biden is likely to win a number of southern states, perhaps four or five, Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma, probably North Carolina, maybe one other. And then I think Sanders is likely to win basically the rest, Texas, California, I think Vermont's on the calendar. There's a few others. It's possible Klobuchar will win her home state of Minnesota. It'll be interesting to see whether Sanders beats Warren in Massachusetts, which I think he's expected to do. So the net effect of all of that is Bernie is going to come out of tonight with a delegate lead. The only question is how large is his delegate lead?
Yeah,
is
it, what's the gap?
You know, more than 100, more than 200, because Democrats award delegates proportionally. Real throughout the entire primary calendar, not just today, but all the way through, if you build up a lead, it is very, very hard to catch up. And so that is, I think, the dynamic that is greatest interest tonight is to see, you know, exactly what that delegate lead is and who has more momentum coming out of Super Tuesday.
Well, certainly the Biden camp has done everything they can possibly do in the last 24 hours to turn that tide. I guess the question is, when it comes to the Super Tuesday states, is it too much, too little, too late?
Yeah, too little, too late almost. Yeah, exactly. I think that is the question. You know, in a state like Texas, where I'm based, you're going to have between half and maybe as many as two-thirds of the vote was cast early. And that was done before Friday of last week. And so Biden didn't even win South Carolina until Saturday. I know that feels like a lifetime ago. But his momentum started Saturday and has been building ever since then. You're going to have tens, if not hundreds of thousands of votes cast for people who are really not in the mix anymore. Buttigieg, you know, Klobuchar, you name it. Other people who've dropped out. Perhaps Tom Steyer. I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Steyer is a factor in California, even though he just dropped out.
Yeah.
And then the other big question mark is Bloomberg, right? Bloomberg is clearly competing with the voters who would be going to someone like Biden. And Warren is presumably competing mostly with voters who would go to someone like Sanders. And so because momentum is moving towards Biden and Sanders, you would think that those voters, those second tier people at this point would decrease today. The question is, how many of those votes were cast ahead of time? And what does that ultimate share look like in these different states that have lots of delegates? Keep one thing in mind. After today, when all the votes are counted and all the delegates are awarded, you'll have about 40% of the around 4,000 delegates the Democrats will award that have been cast. So, you know, it seems like we still got 3 months to go, and we do, and there's a lot of contests. Florida is still out there. There's a lot of big states. But 40% are gone, and I think Bernie's going to have a good lead after tonight's over. So I think the question is going to be, how close can he get to 50% going into the convention in Milwaukee? Can he get to 40? Can he get to 45%? The closer he gets, the harder it's going to be for the convention delegates to deny him the nomination.
Yeah, and already, of course, there is the Democratic world all a Twitter about the possibility of a contested convention when it comes up. But if that happens, if you're Bernie Sanders, you got to throw your hands up and say, "What the hell? What do I have to do to get the nomination around here?"
Yeah, no question. I mean, last time, if you remember, he finished second, but he was hoping the superdelegates would go his way, and he did contest the convention, but ultimately it went to Hillary. You know, in this case, it's going to quite literally be the exact opposite. It's going to be the mirror opposite of that, I think, where Bernie's in first place, doesn't have a majority, won't have a majority on the first ballot, and ultimately may be denied the nomination on the second or third ballot once the 500 superdelegates vote. And so either way, I think the odds of a really divided party coming out of the convention are really high. If they deny the number one vote getter, the number one delegate candidate, you know, on the second or third ballot of the nomination, I mean, that is unprecedented in the modern era, and it is going to be very hard to unify the party. I don't doubt that Democrats desperately want to beat Trump, but if they deny Bernie, I think a good you know, portion of his base, number one, they may go to Trump. I know that seems impossible, but he got something like 15 or 20% of Sanders' primary voters in the general election last time. But number two, a good number of them are going to stay home, and a lot of them are not going to contribute to Joe Biden if he's the nominee, particularly if they take it from him at the convention.
And yeah, it gets more convoluted the more time that goes on. And Matthew, what do you think about the weight of the endorsements that Biden received yesterday moving forward? And also, you know, a lot of Californians threw their support behind Buttigieg and to a lesser degree behind Klobuchar. So with those two dropping out before Super Tuesday, a lot of people are already a little ticked off and say, why bother caring?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that's frustrating when you get behind someone and they get out, particularly if they do it in a sudden way and they try to encourage their supporters to go support someone else. You know, those people that decided to support Buttigieg or decided to support Klobuchar or Bloomberg or someone else, you know, they did that knowing Joe Biden was an active candidate and was an option, and they chose not to support him. But at the end of the day, elections are about choices, and over time in primaries you have fewer and fewer choices the closer you get, particularly at the presidential level. So, look, I think it helps. It showed momentum for Biden. You know, he had Beto O'Rourke there who had not endorsed. And, of course, Beto has a large organization and a lot of support in Texas,
yeah,
which, of course, is a major state today. You know, Klobuchar, I think, saves herself the embarrassment of losing Minnesota if she were to narrowly lose it to, say, Bernie Sanders. She may still win it, but she's now on the team. Look, the two of them, Buttigieg and Klobuchar, I think, will be in the mix, not just for vice president, but perhaps for very senior cabinet roles as well. But I think this is less about that and more about the party unifying to try to stop Bernie from being the nominee. There's deep concern that if he were the nominee, there would be profound down-ballot negative consequences,
yeah,
for the U.S. House, for the U.S. Senate, for state houses. That is what the concern is, and that's why you're seeing the rallying happen as quickly as it has. This race has changed so much in 72 hours. We'll know a lot more Wednesday morning about where it stands.
Yeah, last Friday we thought Joe Biden who? I mean, you know, there was so much time spent really without his active presence in the states that were voting. And even, you know, as we started approaching Super Tuesday, we thought the same thing. Let's talk about California for a moment, Matthew. We're all proud and perky that we have a March 3rd primary this year. How much difference does that really make in the national scheme of things?
Yeah, look, it matters. I mean, California, you know, look, the earlier you are, the more influence you're going to have because you don't know when a presidential primary is going to end. Everyone thinks this one's going to the convention. It may not. If this thing gets down to Biden and Sanders, you know, 2 or 3 weeks from now, if Bloomberg drops out and Warren drops out, you know, it may not go all the way. You might have one candidate that starts decisively winning primaries and winning, you know, the lion's share of the delegates. But yes, California's, you know, benefited from this. Lots of television advertising. I'm sure you've seen the ads.
Oh, boy.
Your listeners have seen the ads. I'm sure they've gotten mail. I'm sure they're getting calls and emails. So, yes, I think it benefits. It's given, you know, one of the things that's interesting about this, I thought early on it was going to give Kamala Harris a real boost because she would presumably be in a very strong position to win California, to win the lion's share of the delegates, to
yep.
put herself in a position where she'd be in the top two or top three going forward. You know, her campaign obviously didn't make it that far. And so in some ways it's made California up for grabs. And that's why I think you start to see more candidate travel there, more advertising, more focus. It is a huge jewel tonight. In fact, Bernie Sanders is campaigning throughout the state today, holding a election night events, I think, in Los Angeles tonight. It's going to be a significant factor. Over 400 delegates in California alone tonight. We'll see who gets the lion's share of them.
Is Kamala Harris a viable candidate for vice president this time around?
I do think so. I think she'd be more likely to be with someone like Biden than someone like Sanders.
Yeah.
But I think she makes a lot of sense for Biden. In fact, I predicted, I think, a couple of days on Twitter, I think that the ticket very well may be Biden-Harris. You know, there's obviously a lot of frustration in the Democratic Party that all the finalists are white. You have all white males except for Elizabeth Warren, and she doesn't seem to be much of a factor at the moment. So you basically have two or perhaps three white males that are the finalists. So I think there's going to be a lot of interest in having a female, ideally a minority female. Kamala Harris comes from an important state. It's not a state that's in play, but it's a state where you can raise money, certainly.
Yeah.
And she obviously ran for president. She's been vetted. She's been out there. She's been an effective communicator. Her campaign didn't make it to the end, but that doesn't necessarily mean she can't be vice president. I mean, look at Biden, right? He ran twice before, and he was Obama's choice for vice president. So it's hard to say right now what the nominee is ultimately going to need, because the whole political environment's going to look different 4 or 5 months from now. But you could see how Harris would balance out the ticket with Biden very nicely.
Well, it continues to be extremely interesting to watch. And, of course, we are vested in it here in the Golden State for Super Tuesday. And, Matthew, so glad to have you with us this morning, calling from Texas, where you are based, and lending your input to this conversation. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Take care.
That is Matthew Mikowiak, political consultant, president of the Potomac Strategy Group.